Welcome to the OBX Fishcast. I'm Jody O'Donnell. We release a new Fishcast every Friday. Today we'll be hearing from Captain Marty Brill with his fishing report. Also, Oregon Inlet Fishing Center will tell us what's happening in that direction. And Brenda from Juan Cheese Marina will chime in. Don't forget our tip from Tony this week is going to have to do with crabbing. So in essence, you could call that segment the OBX Shellfish Cast. Let's start off with Captain Marty and see how that fishing's been. Marty, how's it been?
Well, fishing, you say. You want to know about fishing. Another day of decent weather, not counting a few squalls, but calm, hot, still, and the Oregon Inlet Fleet picked away at some dolphin or mahi. If you found some grass, and there was some grass, most of it scattered, but if you found some sargassa weed out there, you could come up with a day. Same thing down in Hatteras. Picking away at some limits of small bailers. And then everybody did some bottom fishing in the charter fleets. Tile fish for the northern fleet, mostly grouper, a few grouper, some trigger fish for the southern fleet. Back in closer to shore, we continue to have good Spanish mackerel fishing around Oregon Inlet. You can throw in some ribbon fish. There's an occasional king mackerel in those catches. Back in the sound, we have charter boats and private boats alike that are enjoying a great summer on speckled trout fishing. I got reports yesterday from Swan Quarter, from Juan Cheese, from back of Avon, from down behind Hatteras Island, even down to Ocracoke. The sound has a very good showing of speckled trout, probably filling up on the shrimp. We've got a good showing of those as well. And finally, along our beaches, we have kind of scrappy summertime fishing typical for this time of year. People that can get out of bed and be there at the first light are catching a few sea mullet. They're catching a few pompano. Every once in a while, puppy drum, although most of them are undersized. Spanish mackerel, if they pass you by and you got your metal lure ready for casting or tree fishing, a little bit of that action. And on the bridges, on the piers, sort of the same thing, and throw in a few black drum and sheephead there, especially around the pilot. But that's my fish report for you.
Let's move on over to the Oregon Inlet Fishing Center. Era is at the update desk. Era, how's that fishing?
We had a lot going on yesterday. We got quite a few boats out, and they had an excellent return. All meat fish that I could see. Big eye, yellowfin, and blackfin tuna. Mahi, wahoo, as well as some tile fish. As for our near shore and inshore guys, they were seeing ribbon fish, false albacore, and speckled trout. Miss Oregon Inlet, seeing flounder, spot, croaker, and sea mullet.
As far as fishing concerns this weekend, any openings on any of the boats?
Oh, yes. We've got plenty of availability on anything you want to catch.
Safari Dolphin Tour. I almost forgot to mention that. That's a lot of fun.
So we've got Safari Dolphin Tours starting at 7:30 in the morning. Last trip departs at 5:30 in the evening. So anytime that you are available and want to go, we can try to get you out.
And speaking of the fishing boats, when do you expect them back this afternoon?
We'll see them return to the docks around 3 to 4 this afternoon.
If you want to do some fishing out of Oregon Inlet Fishing Center, what's the website and telephone number?
Look us up at oregon-inlet.com or give us a call at 252-441-6301.
One of my favorite places, Juan Cheese Marina. Brenda's there. Brenda, how's that catching been?
The catching's been pretty good on the boats that have been out there. The storms the last day or two have not been a lot of fun. But the boats that have been gotten out there, lots of ribbon fish, lots of Spanish mackerel. Inshore, the guys are finding the speckled trout really good and some flounders. All in all, it's been pretty good out there the last couple days.
Of course, when it comes to the fishing out of Juan Cheese Marina, people can catch their catches and then you cook them up at the Land and Grill.
Oh, most definitely, Jody. Come right from the fish cleaners, bring it in. We'll do nice little fish baskets, french fries, hush puppies, coleslaw. What a way to end your day. Or come in for breakfast or lunch before your fishing trip. Or your dolphin tour. We're here from 5 a.m. until 8 p.m., 7 days a week, breakfast till 11.
How about the availabilities when it comes to the weekend, Brenda?
There's still a few openings left this weekend, and it looks like this weather front's going to be out of here later today, so it should be a beautiful weekend, and there's a few openings for both inshore, nearshore, and offshore. And the Dolphin Tours does have a few openings on Saturday.
Brenda, if you want to find out more about Juan Cheese Marina, what's the website and the telephone number?
The website is juancheesemarina.com, or you can reach us at 252-423-3157.
This is the OBX Fishcast. I'm Jody O'Donnell. We release new episodes every Friday right here. And a frequent contributor to the OBX Fishcast is Tony Lombardi with WalkingAngler.com. Or maybe we should call it the OBX Shellfish Cast for this segment. Tony, we're talking crabbing.
Yeah, we're talking crabbing. You know, we talk about fishing all the time. But there's one thing out there that families and just everybody can enjoy. It's really the simple world of crabbing. You know, catching your own crabs can be fun, can be rewarding. It's just about, you know, every part of it is really exciting. But there's a couple different ways you can crab. You know, most people think, I just throw a chicken neck out in the water, got a string, got a dip net. But that's the easiest way. It's called hand lining. It's simplest, least expensive. All you need is a minimum length of string, and you can use kite string. You need a dip net, a bucket, and a container to put your crabs in, and some bait, and just some chicken backs. And you can pick them up, golly, any grocery store. And they have packages of crab bait that is real inexpensive because it's day-old chicken that they're not going to sell. So it's great for us to use. Now, how do we do that? Well, what we want to do is we want to tie the chicken neck to the string, and you want to get maybe 10 yards of line, and you want to find a spot, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But you want to just throw it just maybe 10 yards away from the shore, and you let it sit for a couple of minutes. And we have an abundance amount of crabs in both the Albemarle and the Pamlico Sound, where it's not going to take long for them to find that piece of chicken. They'll start pulling on it, and you'll feel the tug, and then slowly but surely, hand over hand, you want to retrieve the chicken neck right to the shoreline, and that's where the dip net comes in. You want to, if you practice a lot, you can dip the net right on the crab, and there you go. Now, if you're not real fast, you can get somebody to help.
Like your wife, Linda.
Like my help. That's right. Linda does a great job of dipping, because that's one way. Now, another way is a pull trap. Now, a pull trap is just a flat mesh trap that the sides fold outwards. And that, too, is connected to a string, and you usually use those on an upper-level structure, such as a bridge or a dock. And again, you want to tie a piece of a chicken neck in the middle of the mesh base of this pull trap, and you want to set it on the bottom. And again, now you don't feel the tug of the crab on the bait, so you have to check that pretty frequently. But you want to check it after maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes and pull it up, and boy, there you go. You got a couple of crabs. So those are the two ways that are the most popular way to crab here. Now, a couple of things we need to know about crabbing. We need to know the regulations. That's important. We're not going to get into too much of that right now. That's something you can look at, you know, on the North Carolina Marine Fisheries website. But we got to have 5-inch minimum. See, so we can't catch and keep crabs that are less than 5 inches. We don't want to keep any immature females either, because that's where the eggs come from. There's no size limit on the mature females, and we can talk a little bit about that in a minute. So we want to make sure that we don't harvest the crabs that are going to reproduce. Now, for a recreational crabber, we can only harvest 50 crabs per day, not to exceed 100 if you happen to be on a boat. So if you can get 50 crabs, you're going to get a pretty good meal. So those are some of the minimum requirements. There's no license if you're going to chicken neck or you're going to use the pull trap. So that's something that it's real easy to do. If you're going to do a pot, now that's something that a lot of the commercial anglers do. They use a pot. You're going to need to have a recreational commercial gear license, but you don't really need to do that if you're just going to do it recreational. Now, let's talk about the type of crabs that you can keep. There's four different types that we have out there. They're all blue crabs, but you're going to have jimmies, and you're going to have she crab. Now, that's an immature female blue crab. you're going to have a sook, and that's a mature female crab. And then you're going to have a sponge, and that's the female crab with eggs. You can tell the difference because of the bottom, the portion of the crab. And you need to make sure that you only take what's allowed. So it's real important to examine the crab. Now, one thing that I always use is that you only harvest the males if possible, but if you happen to harvest a female, you're going to see that their claws are going to be pink. So we always say that the ladies have pink fingernails, and so you'll know the difference between a male and a female crab. Now, where can we go and crab? Well, there's a lot of private docks that you can use, but if you do that, you want to always get permission. Now, you want to try to fish on either the Albemarle Sound or the Pimlico Sound, and there's plenty of places. I like the Umstead Bridge. Either side of that, you can pull. There's a pull in the parking lot. There's a pier called Bebop Pier on the western side. A lot of parking there, and there's a lot of crabs. We talk about the Washington Balm Bridge a lot for fishing under the dock. Well, the dock is a great place, but also the seawall on the access road coming in. Daniel's Bridge is a big favorite of crabbers. And then there's plenty of places on Hatteras Island. If you move north, you have Kitty Hawk, Killdevil Hills, have plenty of docks on the western shoreline.
Collington.
Collington
spots,
is a great place. It just seems like, you know, these backwaters hold so many crabs. Southern Shores and Duck have dock space where you can go out and reach, you know, some of these little shallow areas. The Wright Memorial Bridge on the west side, just as you come onto the beach. Now, if you're going to do crabbing on the ocean, it's going to be a little bit harder because of the wave action. But there's plenty of spots on the west side. So now, if you're going to fish on the pier, I think they're going to frown on you setting a pot or crab there. So you might want to avoid that. But there's plenty of places to go. And Jody, you know, if you're not interested in fishing, or maybe you just want to try something new with your family and the kids, the chicken necking and using that pull trap is really the way to go.
Of course, talking to Tony Lombardi, walkingangler.com, frequent contributor to the Saturday morning fishing show with Cap Marty on 94.5 WCMS and Beach 104. Tony, when do you like to, do you like go crabbing early in the morning or towards the evening?
Well, you know, it really doesn't matter. The best time to go is when it's cloudy so the crabs can't see you on the shoreline, because you know, you can spook them fairly quickly. But really, almost any time of the day is great.
And when you go crabbing, what's the size of catch you can usually expect to get?
Well, most of them you're going to find are small. They're going to be less than 5 inches. But you might be lucky to you know, fill a bucket. You'll have plenty to eat for dinner. You know, two or three dozen is going to be a good table full.
Tony Lombardi, walkingangler.com, part of the OBX Shellfish Cast this week. Tony, thank you so much.
Have a good weekend. Thanks, Jody.
That's going to do it for this OBX Fishcast. The next one will be released next Friday. I'm Jody O'Donnell. A new Fishcast will be released next Friday. Make sure to share it with a friend.